take your Bibles this morning and prepare to study the Word of God your better than being in. I'm going to fly through those first few pages on the screen. We looked last week at tribulation. We know that it's a 7-year period that is coming. It will be the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy from Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 and 27. We noted that the tribulation is the 70th week of the Old Testament. We noted that the tribulation begins after the removal of the bride, which is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now when we come to chapter 6 of Revelation, plot of those 7 years that we have begun. We don't know how far into that beginning of the 70th week or the 7 years we are when the first seal is opened by our Lord Jesus Christ, who appears as the Lamb in chapter 5. And the Lord Jesus Christ opens the seal. There are seals all along this scroll. He opens the first seal. And as he does so, we are introduced to the white horse and to its rider. And as we do that, I want to make sure you can see there in the picture a white horse, a red horse, a black horse, and a pale horse. And we're going to be talking about those today and next week as well. Today we want to talk about the white horse and actually the rider on the white horse. There's some things to be noted, and I'll read the passage again. Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying, with a voice like thunder, "Come." Now you'll notice there that it says, "Come and see." But I want you to know, "and see" is not in the text. It was added by English translators, and it confuses the issue. He says, "Come." And what is he saying, "come to"? He is saying, "Come to the first horse and to its rider, to this first judgment." Now, prior to this moment, the church has disappeared from the earth. We are the church, not the building. If we were caught away this morning, everything would stay here in the church building, but we people would be gone if we are, we know Jesus as our Savior. Now, there may be somebody once seated here in the sanctuary, and you won't wonder what happened, but you may wonder why you weren't with us. All that will be left in the seat where you're sitting this morning, if the rapture took place right now, as I'm speaking, would be your clothes, your jewelry, your glasses, your dentures, your metal parts that have been inserted in your body, such as us knee transplants and head transplant people, or people that have had their backs repaired with titanium rods or baskets, whatever the case is. And all of that can be laying there in a pew. The Bible says we'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Won't that be great? But you may not be here when that happens. You may be out driving down the road. You may be out working in your garden or in your lawn, or you may be in your house, or you may be at the store, you may be in the factory, in the office, at work. Whatever you, wherever you are at that moment, you hear that trumpet sound. That sound of that wail of the trumpet of God. As we are caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Shortly thereafter, the rider of the white horse will come roaring into history and into reality. I have no doubt in my mind he is alive today. And we're going to talk about him from various passages of Scripture this morning as we look at this stuff. Now, the first thing we know about him is that he rides in on a white horse. Now that usually is a picture of a king or a ruler or a sovereign. It is not the Lord Jesus Christ. He shows up in chapter 19 of this book. This is not Jesus, please understand that. But it is someone who comes initially as a man of peace. We say that because it says that he has a bow. But there's no mention of arrow, which suggests that he comes first of all as a man of peace. But it also says in the passage that he is conquering. And he's come to conquer. And so I want to suggest to you that this is the man that most people call Antichrist. But I do not call him Antichrist. The reason I do not call him Antichrist, though most people do, is because, first of all, he is not Jewish. The Jews are not looking for a European to be their Messiah. They're looking for a Jew. All the scriptures that point to Messiah in the scriptures point to the Jew. So why do we call him Antichrist? We need to call him what he really is. He is the European nickname. Now many of you have received from me in the past something that looks like this. If you do not get one, then I will provide one in the weeks ahead. I've given it out many times through the years. And it lists all of these people that are involved in Revelation, all the leaders in Revelation, and all the scriptures that go with it. And I will encourage you this morning to get ready in your Bible. We're going to turn to Daniel chapter 9 to start again. Daniel chapter 9. I explained this last week, but I want to explain it again. He is the Roman prince, or the European dictator, whichever name you prefer. Roman prince is easily found in Daniel chapter 9. So if you've got your Bible ready, you say, I don't know where Daniel is. Well, I'm up here. That's not what I want you to find. Look in your Bible. Where are you right now? If you are in Ezekiel, keep going. He's right after Ezekiel. If you're in Isaiah, you've got a few more books. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. If you're in Hosea, or Joel, or Amos, back up. Now, we found Daniel. Daniel chapter 9. Now, put a marker there, because we're going to keep coming back to the book of Daniel this morning. I've been teaching Daniel in our Sunday school class. We've been having an interesting time studying that. And hopefully we'll get through this very quickly as time goes flying by. But Daniel chapter 26, or chapter 9, verse 26. Daniel chapter 9, and verse 26. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off. Jesus was crucified on the cross. But not for himself, he died for you and me. The people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. That happened when the Roman general Titus entered into Jerusalem. He literally destroyed the city, and then they destroyed the temple. And as Jesus said in his prophecy, not one stone will be left standing upon another. And that is true. The Roman soldiers literally dismantled the temple stone by stone and the temple mount stone by stone, looking for gold and silver that had held them and pulled down into the mountains. Now, it says the people, that's the Romans, of the prince who is to come. The prince who is to come hasn't come yet. That's why we call him the Roman dictator, or the European dictator. And I said I believe that he is alive on planet Earth today. We don't know who he is. There are a lot of suggestions that have been made, mostly based on leadership positions in the European common market or the European community, which is right now holds about 20 different countries in employment. You will notice that it will be reduced back to 10, and that could happen rather shortly. There is certainly a lot of trouble and trials going on in Europe, and everything could change in a matter of days, weeks, and months. And so I call him the Roman Prince or the European dictator. And then if you turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 3 and 4 and then verse 9 and 10, we would call him the man of sin or the son of perdition. The man of sin from the son of perdition. What I'm saying right here is over Daniel, because I want you to look at Daniel chapter 7. We've read Daniel 7 this morning. We've said, what in the world do you think about? Well, now you're going to find out. Verse 7, Daniel 7, verse 7. After this, I saw the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast. Now, I want to tell you quickly what the beasts were. The first beast is the kingdom of Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar. The second beast was the Medo-Persian Empire under Darius the Mede and Cyrus the Persian. Today, that is Syria and Iran. Keep that in mind. Today, on your map, your modern map, that is the country of Syria and the country of Iran. Now, notice what it says. There was a third animal, the leopard. The leopard had four horns, and that is Greece. The Greek Empire was followed, and after a while, that Greek Empire split into four regions and four generals. There was a runner, Alexander the Great, split up the kingdom after he died at the age of 32. And turned that into four countries. And so that's the four horns of that beast. Now we come to this fourth beast. Dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong, and had huge iron teeth. The word iron is important to keep in mind. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, trampling the residue with its teeth. Feet, that's an important word to keep in mind. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. And I was considering the horns. There was another horn, a little one, coming up among them, before whom three of the first horns were plucked out by the roots. And there, in this horn, were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking countless words. Now, the little horn of Daniel chapter 7 is this same guy, the European dictator or the Roman prince, now he's called the little horn, who conquers and destroys or takes over three of the 10 countries that are part of the revived Roman Empire. Now you say, what happened to the Roman Empire? It faded away. It's kind of spread out. But it would not take much. It would only take one good leader to bring it all together, and then he would usurp power and leadership over those 10. He would eradicate 3 out of those 10 and replace them with himself. And then he's going to move towards Israel. That's what's going to be happening in the early part of the tribulation period. Now I want you to look over at verse 20 to 27. I have only a couple of minutes to cover this. I'll do it very quickly. And about the 10 horns that were on his head, and about the other horn which came up before which three fell, namely that horn which had eyes and a mouth and spoke countless words, whose appearance was greater than his fellows, I was watching. And the same horn was making war against the saints. We say, wait a minute, who is this? Who is this? Well, there was a man that fulfilled this way back before the time of Christ. His name was Antiochus Epiphanes. But there weren't any 10 horns to go with him. And Antiochus faded away after he pulled him from the temple by sacrificing a pig. And there was an uprising against him by the Maccabees. And the Maccabees won. And the temple was purified. And God performed a miracle which gave the Jews what is today called the Feast of Purim, or the time of the menorah of nine lights, the Feast of Lights. All of that took place in the past, but it did not fulfill this. He did not yet fulfill this. And he said, until the Ancient of Days came. So now that puts it in the future, because the Ancient of Days hasn't come yet. Until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. Now that verse puts everything about this being and this one man ruling over this beast, or this government, this empire, puts it all in the future. Just before God comes and sets up his kingdom on the earth. And that's what we are waiting for. And that's where we are in history, folks. We are right before all of this event takes place. In chapter 8, you find him mentioned again, but we don't have time. In chapter 11 of Daniel, he's called the willful king. And you'll notice that it involves the same countries that right now are the center of all the unrest in the world. Egypt, Syria, Iran. Egypt, Syria, Iran. Where is all the turmoil in the world, folks? Egypt, Syria, Iran. The world is ready for this now to step out of the darkness and into the light and begin his masterly dominion of conquering the Mediterranean area and maybe the whole world. In those early years of the tribulation period. If you haven't written all that down and want it, I can give you a copy of the later day. But right now, I want you to be thinking, if the rapture takes place next year to your party, I put in the if this is the year when the trumpet sounds of Jerusalem for the Feast of Trumpets, and the Lord simultaneously blows the trumpet from heaven, and the dead in Christ is brought up, and we who are alive to be brought up, if that's going to happen this week, are you ready? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you sure made sure that you have surrendered your heart to Him and trust in Him as your Lord and Savior? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Please, as seriously as you can, make sure. Say, Lord, I think I'm ready, but I'm not sure. Lord, please come into my heart and save me for Jesus' sake. Understand a little beyond the Lord's Sunday school this morning. That's the Lord Jesus in your heart. Maybe there's some other people in this room that you need to do the same. Ask Jesus to come into your life, wash away all of your sin, and make you his child. And you who are God's children, we're going to celebrate communion in just a few months. You who are God's children, is there any sin that you have not confessed? Right now, confess it. As someone once said, if you commit them one by one, confess them one by one. The First John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to
Amen. Eternal God and Heavenly Father, in the Holy Spirit, so in this place, in our midst, and I pray, God, that He will be powerful, effective, and we may all go out of here rejoicing and expecting to hear that trumpet sound any day. Glorify yourself in our midst, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.